Welcome to Syracuse Speaks, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman. This is season 6 of Syracuse Speaks. Let's get started. Given the amount of theme nights that the Syracuse Crunch has had recently as they try to help their fans fight off the doldrums of a central New York winter that has been very wet and lately has also been very cold, we are definitely going to be talking theme nights during today's episode. However, before we get started, I did just want to draw everyone's attention to an article written by Patrick Williams that dropped just this afternoon. And it's on the AHL.com. It's about the Syracuse Crunch and how they are using their platform and their presence in the community to help fight stigma around mental health. It's a fantastic article. It focuses on Vinnie Lobdell and his family and what they are doing for both my hometown community up in Oswego, but also the Syracuse area, and how Crunch owner Howard Dolgan has taken up their cause as his own and an extension as the team's own. There's so much good in this article. And, you know, I wish that this was a more multimedia podcast, because then I could help link you all right to it. But it really, not only is it well written, as all of Patrick's pieces are, but it really speaks to the mission of minor league teams and, you know, really in part my mission here at this podcast, which is to promote the minor leagues as advocates and partners in the communities within which they play. That to me is the most important aspect of the minor leagues. They are partners to their local communities. And this article really emphasizes everything that is good about that. And, you know, I'm not going to quote it all because then you won't go read it. But within this article, Crunch owner Dolgan says, "We've always believed that as a team with a platform in our community, it was important to have a positive impact on the people who live in Syracuse and surrounding areas." That right there to me, you know, developing players aside, is the mission of the American Hockey League. This article is absolutely worth your time. You can find it on the AHL.com. It's featured there right now. You can find it on my Twitter. You can find it on Patrick Williams' Twitter. And you can find it on the Crunch's Twitter. They've retweeted it. We've all retweeted it. Please go check it out. It is absolutely worth your time. Aside from providing such great advocacy for the community, the Crunch also provides entertainment. Syracuse has had a wealth of theme nights over the last couple of games that have been extremely well executed and very comprehensive when it comes to being spread across all of their mediums and everywhere that they promote their team, and also during the games themselves. Of course, one of the ones that I was looking forward to most this season was Wizarding Night. That night was last Saturday, as of the recording of this podcast, on the 21st of January. It was the 13th of January. And overall, I thought the night was fairly well done. I appreciated most on the team's social media. I don't know who runs their social media account, but I have definitely felt a kinship with them over these past couple of theme nights, because the quotes and things that they have picked out were just of upper tier caliber. You know, Wizarding Night, they paired some fantastic quotes from Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings that really actually explained what was happening in whatever they were talking about on social media, whether it was a goal from whichever team scored it, whether it was, you know, starting the game off, and just the whole thing was really well done. that night in particular, I appreciated that the walk-up photographs incorporated wands. That was really fun. I also was very entertained by the fact that one of the players held up a wand and a banana. Okay. I mean, magic can be a conduit through many different things. So, hey, we'll take it. I thought that the poster that the team came up with for the evening was very well done. I liked how it featured Hogwarts and the War Memorial. And, you know, it had Al, which is the old school mascot that I came through with in a Hogwarts robe. And I really appreciated that theming. I've already framed it and put it into my nerd corner. So, you know, definitely appreciated that. I also bought the t-shirt because of course I did. And you know, all of that I thought was really well done. I'm not sure if there was something going on with the video board because the promised wizarding clips didn't seem to start until about the third period. So I did think that the in-game theming could have been more present. There wasn't music associated with either of the series. And granted, like, I don't know how copyright works in those areas. So there very well could have been a concern there. I have no idea, you know, to be fair, like with the broadcast rights and the copyright songs, maybe they would get a copyright strike if they used the music. That is entirely possible and would not surprise me at all, considering the Crunch posts clips of goals and things in multiple locations. And I know YouTube in particular gets very, very happy with those copyright strikes. So that could have very well have had something to do with the fact that the music, you know, wasn't wizarding themed. I was disappointed that the clips, you know, didn't really seem to be very visible. But like I said, there could have been something going on with the video board. There was a moment earlier in the game too, where they were doing like the drumming thing where they have the fans drum along to a rock song. And like the drums didn't materialize until the bit was almost over. So that did make me wonder if there was something going on there. Overall, it was really enjoyable. It was really fun seeing so many people come dressed in character. A lot of kids did, and there were some adults too. If you were a gentleman wearing a Hufflepuff jersey, exactly like the one that I was wearing, and you were over in the mezzanine section on the bench side of the arena, I saw you. I give props to you, fellow Hufflepuff. It was great to see another Hufflepuff hockey jersey in the audience. It was just a really fun night. And, you know, it's definitely one that I hope the Crunch repeats in the future, maybe with perhaps a little bit more put into the in-game entertainment and theming. A night that was exemplary in terms of in-game theming was Syracuse's 90s night, which as of the recording of this was last night on January 20th. As someone who spent the majority of her formative years in the 90s, I loved pretty much everything about the whole evening. The music was great starting off the night, right even before, as the fans were trickling in before warmups. We had Hanson, Sugar Ray, Eagle-Eyed Cherry, right? I think that's the name of them. I might be confusing two bands there, but anyways. And a couple of others that were very much appreciated during one of the intermissions. They played the entirety of the Backstreet's Back music video, which absolutely made my heart very, very happy. The other thing that made my heart so happy that it didn't even realize what was happening at first because it just seemed so normal was that for that night, the team went back to Zombie Nation as their goal song. I was in the midst of talking to my best friend, you know, as you do during a hockey game, and my brain took a couple of seconds to register that there was something different going on because for, gosh, the first 13, 14 years of my tenure as a Crunch fan, you know, I think it's actually what, Kerncraft 3000 or something. And then like Zombie Nation is the band that actually put the song out, but everybody just knows it by Zombie Nation. That was the goal song. That goal song has connections for me, you know, 07, 08, and 12, 13 too. Like there, you know, a lot of my time as a Crunch fan was spent celebrating goals to that song. So when the team decided to change it a couple seasons ago or whenever it was, you know, it saddened me. And I haven't really connected with any of the songs that they have been using since then. So last night, when I heard that song, like I said, my brain at first was just like, oh yeah, this is normal. This is the way it's supposed to be. And then it was like, wait a second, this is not normal. This is not the way it's been. And it was so exciting to hear that song again. And, you know, I mean, it seemed like the team really enjoyed hearing it too, since they scored 5 goals and we got to hear it 5 different times. A couple other things that the team brought back. I did see the old mascot wandering around once, but I didn't see him again for the rest of the game. And the old power play song was also back, which was kind of cool. The video board was perfectly themed to the kind of mall food court, purple, teal, you know, matched the uniforms of the time, all of that was really well done. The 90s trivia on the board was well done. The social media cross promotional quotes and posts and everything that the team chose to focus on was well connected. You know, again, I don't know the age of the person who runs the team's social media account, so it makes me wonder if they're actually a millennial like I am, or if they are having to Google all of this stuff, or if maybe they're being guided by a millennial in the front office. But it was a lot of fun. And I, my best friend and I, we 90'd it up. I wore a pair of flared bell-bottom ripped jeans that my 12-year-old self would have loved to have at that time period when those kinds of things were in, but that my parents never would have bought for me because, and I'm sure all of you recognize this, they don't pay for holes in clothes. And I also wore what I think, after extensive Googling, was an early 90s banded canvas jacket of my dad's. And he also had a satin version of this banded jacket with like the band, the elastic, the wide elastic striped band around the bottom of the coat and the sleeves and around the neckline. He also had a satin version. And from my research, the satin version was the 80s. And then the canvas type version was the early 90s. So, you know, his birthday would have been last week. So it was fun being able to pay a little bit of tribute to that and wear that jersey to 90s night. So I enjoyed that. My best friend went for more of an early 90s grunge look, which she looked fantastic. You know, I saw a lot of other people that channeled either the old-time jerseys or the old-time looks and that type of thing. I really appreciate that these nights give fans, especially in the dead of winter, a little bit of added fun and, you know, interest. You're deciding what you're going to wear. You know, it's very comparable to dressing like a concert. And, you know, we had a very, very well attended concert just this past year going into this year that was really focused on what the fans were choosing to wear to the events. And so I love the parallels there and the echoes of that type of stuff. And it really does help to make winter a little bit more bearable. So I know that all of the teams in the league do these types of theme nights, but I have to admit, I think the Crunch really does do them particularly well. And maybe that's just a little bit of bias on my part, you know, and granted, I don't travel anywhere near as much as I used to the other teams. And I don't really follow them on Twitter because I can't keep up with all of the everything that everybody does. So, you know, I am sure other teams do things well, but there's just Syracuse really put a lot of nice effort into these couple of theme nights over the last couple of weeks. And it really does help, especially when, you know, the winter is really starting to get you down. So that was a lot of fun. Now, of course, I mean, those nights were made even better by the fact that Syracuse won. So the Crunch is running high right now on a 4-game winning streak. They have been playing very well, especially considering all of the call-ups and roster disruptions that Syracuse has had in these past couple of weeks. You know, the Crunch has definitely seen a lot of transactions. There's like 3 players on PTOs right now. I think they're all defensemen. Like, there's been a lot going on with transactions for the Crunch, even since the last time we talked, because the last time we sat down and talked, I discussed the fact that there's a lot of transactions going on with Syracuse. That pattern has unfortunately continued. So, you know, I keep hoping that maybe the Lightning's injury situation will stabilize a little bit, and maybe we'll start seeing some of those players returned. You know, Max Crozer is still up there. Walteri Mareala is still up there. Phil Myers is still up there. On the Syracuse end of injuries, 2 of the biggest ones right now that, you know, I am not entirely sure where they are with getting healthy, but Gabriel Dumont has been out for, God, it seems like forever now. And Daniel Walcott has been out. So those 2 players, you know, those are leaving some really big holes in the roster, especially with veteran Philip Myers up in Tampa. You know, Syracuse is very, very, very young. Like, we talked all summer long about how young Syracuse was going to be this season. Right now, with all of these players out, Syracuse is even younger than they should be. So the fact that this team has really pulled it together, and, you know, they've had periods where they've struggled during games, but they've won in all situations. They've won in overtime. They've won in the shootout. They've won in regulation. They're doing really well considering all of the roster fluctuations. So what this has given Syracuse throughout all of this is a 22-12-2-2 record. 22 wins, 12 losses, 2 overtime losses, and 2 shootout losses. That is good for 48 points, 2nd place in the North Division. Syracuse has been solidly in that 2nd place spot for a long time. And, you know, they don't want to move from that spot. And in fact, the only way they would want to move from that spot is if they slid up into 1st place. That is actually within Syracuse's reach at this point in time. Cleveland is still in 1st place with 50 points, but that's only 2 ahead of Syracuse. Cleveland does have a game in hand over Syracuse. They have played 1 less game than the Crunch has, so they do have an opportunity to make up 2 points there. But, you know, we are in the 2nd half of the season, so those games in hand that I'm seeing throughout the North Division, Syracuse at this point has played the most games in the North. So those games in hand are going to start to even out as we head towards April and start really looking towards the postseason. So, you know, I mean, Syracuse is hanging in there with some really tough competition, and they're looking good in the standings. And, you know, they've beat Providence, 2nd place in the Atlantic just this past time period. They beat Cleveland, 1st in the North Division. You know, Utica, although last in the North Division, always gets into Syracuse's head and always presents a challenge no matter how well or how not well the team is performing. The Crunch beat them solidly during 90s night on Saturday, 5-1. So this team is looking really solid, and they have a lot to be proud of at this point in time. Are their battle is far from over. But there's really overall very little to critique at this point in time, especially considering all of the adversity that the team has been facing. As we look towards the next couple of weeks, Syracuse is headed straight for the AHL All-Star break, which I go over this every single year, but it kind of kills me that it's called the All-Star break because the All-Star event is on a Sunday and a Monday in the American Hockey League, which I continue to have issues with, but whatever, stay in my lane, doesn't matter. It's one of those things where I've really been trying to work on just not having an opinion on things. It's a lot less stressful if you can look at something and just tell yourself, I don't need to have an opinion on this, and go on with your life. Positioning of the AHL All-Star game is probably something I just don't need to have an opinion on and can go on with my life. So I'm not going to spend any more time talking about how, nope, I don't have to have an opinion. Moving on. So the AHL All-Star break is coming up February 4th and 5th. So Syracuse has one representative in the All-Star game so far, and that is Gage Gonsalves. Very well earned from Gonsalves, who actually got called up to the Tampa Bay Lightning very briefly and made his NHL debut not that long ago. He was returned to the crunch, and then another forward was called up, unfortunately, but Gonsalves still leads the Syracuse Crunch in points with 35. He is also first on the league in, or I'm sorry, on the team in assists with 28. And he is seventh on the team in goals with 7 points. If we switch on over to the American Hockey League itself, I believe Gonsalves is ninth. Yes, he sure is. He is ninth in the American Hockey League in points. And he's actually tied with someone out of Abbotsford. Is that who that little dude is? Yeah, Abbotsford, for that position. So again, I'm not entirely sure what the tiebreaker is there. It might even just be alphabetical order, to be honest with you. But regardless, you know, actually, now that I'm looking at it, it's a three-way tie. So, I mean, he is really four-way tie? Holy cow, it's a four-way tie. Good Lord. So four players are currently tied for 35 points in the American Hockey League. And player number five in the league just has 36 points, and he's currently on recall. So theoretically, depending on how this would all work out, you could say that Gonsalves is really fifth in the league in points once you flush out all of those ties and get rid of Adam Gaudette, who is currently on recall, I assume, since there's that little X next to his name, which says he's currently not on roster for Springfield. So I'm assuming he's on recall. So, you know, Gonsalves is really having a great season, and he certainly deserves a nod to the AHL All-Star game. You know, Syracuse could end up with another player representing them if another player in another team in the North Division can't make it and they need to fill in some spots. They could probably grab someone from the crunch. That has happened before. To be honest with you, I was a little disappointed that Syracuse only had one representative, considering they're the second team in the North and they've been solidly in the top three in the North Division all season long. So I was a little disappointed at that, but you know, I think one of the issues with having the well-rounded roster that Syracuse has, where, you know, guys are scoring, you're getting secondary scoring, you're getting contributions up and down the roster. The problem with that is that, you know, All-Star games are based on a bunch of people sitting in a room staring at stat sheets. And other than Gonsalves, there's some flashes of brilliance. You can see guys developing right before your eyes, but there's nobody that's really standing out. On any given night, you have individuals that are standing out, absolutely. But as a team, as a whole, this is really a whole team effort. And you can't elect the whole team to the All-Star game. So Syracuse has one representative going into the All-Star break. Again, that could change. We'll see over the next couple of weeks what happens. But currently, Gonsalves leads the team in points. Underneath him in second place in points is Jack Thompson on the team with 27. Mitchell Chafee is 25, has 25. Felix Robert has 25. And Dumont has 20. And I mean, that's still fairly impressive that he's in fifth place on the team in points, considering he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. So that's where Syracuse is as far as points go. I did see something interesting. Chafee currently leads the team with 6 power play goals. So that's kind of great for a younger player to be so involved in special teams and really be showing what he could do. So that's also kind of an interesting thing to point out. Syracuse's special teams in particular, I think, have bore the brunt of all of the roster changes that have happened over the last couple of weeks. They're doing okay, though. You know, again, you can't ask too much of a roster that has seen so much transition and changes. So overall, you know, we'll see what happens coming up next. Syracuse has a very heavy North Division schedule coming up between now and the next time we sit down together and record this podcast, which as of right now is slated, just so you can have your schedules all set, to be probably February 4th. Originally, I was thinking February 11th, but looking at my calendar right now, I'm actually thinking February 4th might be a more appropriate day to record. So chances are we're looking at February 4th, might slide to February 11th, depending on what's going on that weekend. But as of right now, count on February 4th, which, as previously discussed, will be right in the middle of the All-Star break. So that actually would work out pretty well. Coming up, Syracuse will be facing Laval on Friday. That night is also racing night. I don't know what that means. Syracuse hasn't really released a ton about what that is going to entail, but I'm sure they'll get around to it eventually. January 27th, the Crunch is in Utica. January 31st, the Crunch is in Rochester. February 2nd, Syracuse comes back home for a doubleheader against Belleville. So that will also be on February 3rd. And then February 4th, as previously discussed, you know, players, I guess, get a little bit of a break because of the All-Star game. And then we hop right back into it. So North Division heavy over the next couple of games. Based on where the standings are right now, it would certainly behoove Syracuse to grab a couple of more points. Rochester is in third place in the division with 42 points. So, you know, Syracuse would do well to keep the gap between them and Rochester as wide as possible. Laval is in fourth place with 40, and Belleville is in fifth place with 40. So all of the teams that Syracuse is facing, except for Utica, who has 35 points, and as previously discussed, is in last place, are kind of right behind Syracuse in the standings that they'll be facing over the next 2 weeks or so. Would definitely do them well to get as many points out of that period as possible. Although, as previously discussed, that may depend on what goes on with their roster and if they can manage to find some stability there with whatever's going on with the Lightning and, you know, how that all works out. Before I sign off for today, I do just want to plug that article that's currently on the AHL.com one more time. I think it's a wonderful article. It really speaks to the passion of the Crunch organization and why minor league affiliations are so special in relationship to the communities within which they play. So please make sure to check it out. And I hope you all have a great couple of weeks, and I look forward to sitting down again and talking about our team. I think that will do it for this week's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I crave interactions and feedback, so please feel free to get in touch with me over Twitter. And I'm still calling it Twitter because I refuse to call it the new name. My personal Twitter is at Allovimo, as always, Allovimo. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.